welcome to Carrie's Heli Tech Tips. I'm your host, Carrie Snyder. And today I've been wanting to do, I think I'm going to go over terminology and components of an RC helicopter. Kind of go over the basics of the physical helicopter, kind of get you familiarized with the different names and terminology that is used. To start off with, I'm just going to just go random on different parts, so no particular order or anything like that. The first thing I have on my list is the ESC, which is broke down to electronic speed control. This is the electronic device that you plug your flight battery into, the larger battery, and it also drives your electric motor. They vary in different amperages. I've seen them all the way down from like 5 amps all the way up to 300 amp, I think is what they're up to now. And there's various manufacturers. There's various types of them. Some have telemetry. Some are pretty basic. You just have a high and low throttle and they do their thing. After that, the next module we're going to have on the helicopter is an FBL. A lot of companies use FBL, and that's basically for flybarless heli. I've seen FB used, and that's just referring to a flybar helicopter, the one that has the paddles in between the main rotors. After that, you got FBL unit. And that is considered the flight controller. That is the computer that levels and keeps your tail straight. It helps you keep the helicopter under control. It doesn't fly the helicopter for you, but it helps stabilize it. And again, there's various manufacturers. There's the base tuning on some of them are better than others, but at the end of the day, they all pretty well do the same thing. After that, you might see an RX, and that is simply talking about the radio receiver. That would be on board the model. And again, there's different manufacturers for those. After that, you got TX, which is your transmitter, what you would hold in your hand and control your model with. For the most part, they need to be the same manufacturer. There are some aftermarket receivers meant for other radio brands, and they're okay. I wouldn't trust them on the larger models. I would definitely go with the same name brand as the transmitter you're flying. Just for safety reasons. After that, let's see, we're getting into the more of the physical components of the helicopter. First off, we got the swash plate. And the swash plate is right above the frame, and it's underneath the rotor head where the blades are mounted. And the swash plate actually goes up and down on the main shaft. It can tilt forward, backwards, to the side, whatnot. And that is what gives you your control of the model. That gives you your roll and pitch. And also the collective pitch, which is what makes the helicopter go up or down. After that, we got the rotor head, which is the assembly right above the swash plate. It actually rides on the very top of the main shaft. It has a shaft going through it called the feathering shaft. And on the feathering shaft are your blade grips. They're generally held on by an Allen screw. There's an array of bearings in there. And they take the full load of the blades swinging at flight RPM. And also all the maneuvers you may do, whether it be flying scale or 3D sport aerobatic stuff. Let's see, we got the feather shaft, we got the grips. The main shaft is what I've also referenced, that runs all the way through the top transmission plate of the helicopter. It generally has your main gear attached to it. The main gear may or may not be belt drive. A lot of them are just a big gear hanging out all either side of the frame. The transmissions themselves sometimes go from a belt on the motor to a secondary shaft. From the secondary shaft, it drops down and goes into a regular gear that drives the main shaft. The different manufacturers have different ways of setting it up and everything. The main shaft also has generally has an auto rotation gear, which is the gear that drives the tail rotor, whether it be belt or torque tube, which is basically a drive shaft. It also that way when you want to do an auto rotation, your tail keeps spinning along with the main rotor. It connects the two of them together. Generally, in the stack of your main gear and your auto rotation gear, there's a one way bearing in there, and that separates your motor from the main shaft, and it allows your rotor and your tail rotor to free spin, in a sense. So you can basically glide the helicopter due to the ground, in a sense. Let's see, we went over the transmission. The servos, most helicopters have three servos on that drive the swash plate. There are a few out there that actually have four servos up there. Some of your older helicopters have, I think I've seen almost five servos to work. You're getting into mechanical mixing before computer transmitters were out and stuff like that. And then you also have another servo out on the tail that does the pitch for your tail. As far as talking about the tail, we naturally coming off the chassis of the helicopter, we got the boom. And either above or below the boom, you will have the tail push rod, which connects to your servo and goes out to your tail rotor and does the pitch on your tail rotor so you can yaw right or left. Inside the boom, you're either going to have a belt or, like I said earlier, a torque tube. And those are just the means of how the tail rotor is driven. The torque tube is basically a drive shaft. It has one to three bearings on it inside the tail boom, and just connect the main rotor to the tail. There's not much difference between the two being belt or torque tube. Torque tube probably freewheels a little easier. Little better in autos. The belt is a little more forgiving if you tap the ground or whatnot. A torque tube will just strip your gears out. If you tap the tail on the ground, they're so rigid in their connection, you're just going to blow a gear out. Where a belt can actually skip a couple of teeth and everything's fine. For the most part, really, though, at the end of the day, if you actually proceed into an auto rotation, there's really not enough difference to say you want to go one way or the other. Honestly, the tail belt, the belt drive is probably the better way to go, because getting a torque tube shipped and it not get bent by the time it reaches you is a miracle. So after that, out on the tail assembly, that tail push rod I was talking about goes to a tail pitch slider, and that connects to the two linkages that go out to the blade grips for the tail rotor blades. And it sliding left or right is changing the pitch of the tail rotor, causing a right or a left thrust. On the end of the tail shaft there, you got a hub that's almost identical to the head of the helicopter, especially if you're running a flybarless helicopter. And for the most part, that's everything. I mean, your frame is carbon fiber, and naturally, there are all kinds of different shapes. Your power system could be electric. You can have nitro. You can have gas, or you can even have a turbine. And with the fuel-powered models, naturally, you're going to have a fuel tank. You're going to have fuel lines. Most of them, you're going to have a second. Well, like your fuel-powered batteries, you're going to have a small, probably a two-cell LiPo or something like that, that's running your electronics, your ignition, stuff like that. Turbine, I'm running actually two receiver packs. One receiver pack's running the flight electronics and the receiver, that kind of thing. The second pack is actually running the turbine's ECM. It's computer that runs the engine. It runs the starter, that kind of thing. So it actually has two batteries. My 700 class helicopters, I run, like my 700s, I run two flight packs, which is two 6S5000s. They go into the speed control. And then after that, I run a separate two-cell lithium battery, 2550 milliamp hour, that runs my flight electronics. I do that just because I just don't trust the BEC that's in the speed control. And a BEC is a battery eliminator circuit. On my smaller helicopters, I have no problem with them. But the larger ones, it's just me. There's no problem with them. I've got buddies that fly them all the time with off the BECs, and they have no issues. It's just a personal preference. After that, I mean, underneath the model, you got the landing skids. You got a canopy. Let's see here. I think that's pretty much it. Some models do have a battery tray that will slide in and out on the electric variants. Other than that, your rotor blades are carbon fiber. The tail rotor blades can be plastic or carbon. I think that's pretty much it on explaining it. When I do a video, I'll probably go over a lot of this again. That way I can physically point, hey, this is this piece, this is that piece, you know, and help everyone better understand this. So I think that's going to close out this show. And just quick and simple, and I hope it's helpful. After that, I guess I'm going to go into some events I've come across. The first one's in Oscar, Oklahoma. It's Fly the River. That'll be March 3rd through the 7th of 2024. And again, I said that's in Oscar, Oklahoma. It's a little north of Dallas, right on the Red River. I mean, right on the Red River. If you hadn't been there, it is a fantastic event. It's put on a gentleman's property. He generally feeds us. There is no cell phone coverage at all out there. You're looking at every bit of an hour drive to even get to a town to get food or whatever. So you definitely want to bring your stuff. But I've been going for the last several years. Last year I didn't get to go, sadly, but I'm definitely making it this year, and it's definitely an event worth going. New for this year is the Austin Heli Bash, which I'm also plan and host. I will probably be working the registration booth, but that one is going to be in Austin, Texas at the ARCA Club, and that will be May 23rd through the 26th of 2024. And that is 8705 Lindale Lane in Austin, Texas. You can also get more information at www.austinrc.org. And another one I found out about today is up in Dallas. And that is the fourth annual Heli Fun Fly at the Golden Triangle Club in Grand Prairie. And that one will be April 6th. And that is at 220 East Seton Road. And if you want more information on that, my buddy Michael Rosnick puts that one on. He flies scale helicopters. And he also flies full-size helicopters. But you can check them out at www.gtrcc.org. And right now, that's all the events I've got for the area. I haven't heard of any fixed wing or any other fly-ins at the moment. But if I do, I'll put them on the list for sure. So other than that, if you need to contact me, you can contact me at carriesnyder@yahoo.com or Carrie Snyder on Facebook or carriesnyder442 on YouTube. And I think that's going to do it for us today. I hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, if you have any comments or suggestions, please get in contact with me. And we'll see if I can do a little better. I appreciate you listening. Have a good one.